It's Tuesday, the 3rd of April, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And this week, we're going to look back at the Devils' quarterfinal playoff games against Coventry, have a little chat about the Devils' awards night before previewing the playoff final weekend. Always an exciting time and always a little bit sad because it means hockey's done and done for another season. But to kick things off, Devils went to Coventry on Good Friday. I was going to say Saturday, I have it, but it was Friday. Don't think either of you guys watched the game?
No.
I didn't know.
What are we doing? You'd be leaving a review of the game in my drunken hands. This is an issue. No, it was a good game. It's strange how Coventry seemed to struggle against nearly every team in the league against Cardiff consistently this year. And Friday, no different on the scoreboard, really. But Devils were the dominant team for nearly the whole game. Coventry getting a power play just a minute in. Hotham with it. It was a soft call. Like Hotham, I didn't even think, made contact with Paquette and he went down like he'd been shot. Went into the bin, and it took Ben Lake just 10 seconds of the power play to convert and give Coventry the lead. Devils were the best team in that period. I thought a lot of zone time, not a lot of tough at the end of it. If you like, there was no final product. But for me, I was quite confident, and starting the second period, it was our turn to get the early goal with Joey Haddad getting it. And that man, Danik Paquette, restore the lead just a couple of minutes later. He gets so much stick from Devils fans, Sean, but he just seems to be one of those players that's got the knack for scoring against us.
Yeah, and he's a big body. He's not afraid to get physical. I think he's had a couple of fights early on for Coventry this year. I think he's really been their heartbeat, if you want to call him that. He's thrown his weight around, thrown some good hits. He's scored a lot of big goals. Obviously, like you said, including games against us, which is, I think they've been their best performances that they haven't won their games against us this year. So, has that knack. But, I like Paquette as a player. Obviously, hate to play against him, but, he's been a real thorn in our side this year.
Yeah, he's a player. I've liked watching him. It's an entertaining style. I think from a distance, it's his silly bans. I think he's taken two bans from the two home games Coventry have played against Edinburgh this year, both games that they were running away with at the time. So, little things like that probably make you realise why he's playing for the Coventrys in the league and not higher up, because he's definitely got the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. Sean Bentivoglio converted a power play opportunity midway through the period to end the second all square. And it's probably fair. Coventry played hard. They had a big crowd at the Sky Dome. It wasn't a massively loud crowd, but they definitely had their home support. Some of the best that we've probably seen in Coventry for a few years. And they played playoff hockey, and the Devils managed to hang with them until the third period, where two goals in the first 10 minutes from Joey Martin and Matt Pope gave us a two-goal lead. And what I felt at the time, and Andrew Lord's interview said the same, that he felt that we'd either eased off after that fourth goal went in, thinking the job was done. But obviously, with another 60 minutes to play, a two-goal lead isn't that big, as we'd come to find out on Easter Sunday. But the Devils finished 4-2. Some really good performances. And one note, Gleeson Fournier, I don't think the puck was taken off him by a Coventry Blaze player at all during that game. He gained the zone time after time. He cycled the puck. He passed it. If he was getting trouble, he dumped it deep and made sure there was someone chasing. It was just an outstanding game. Man of the match went to Ben Bounds, who also made some massive saves. And I think that tie would have been a lot closer without those pair. Moving then into Sunday, and Aaron, the worst possible start. Just 34 seconds in with Ryan Dingle getting a breakaway opportunity.
Yeah. I was really shocked because, we win the draw, we gain the entry into their zone, and everything looks fine. Looked like we was going about our business, and then next thing you know, down the other end of the ice, Jake Morissette was a little bit out of position, and you don't give Ryan Dingle a one-on-one with Bounds, and he beats him, and I'll be honest, the nerves kicked in at that moment right there. I was like, oh, another basically 58 minutes to go, and they only need two more goals to win, and I was just like, oh. But yeah, it was, I thought we had a great first period after that. We, you know, Farina brought us back into it at the end of it. I'd say we won that period. I just think Kevin Nastyuk was absolutely unreal. Like, some of the saves he was making, he had no right to make. And I thought he had a fantastic first period and a game. Proper kept that Coventry team in that game. And, you know, if a couple more chances went Coventry's way, it could have been a different result.
Yeah, I think with Nastya, excellent over the whole weekend. You know, definitely backstopped him to keeping the margin down to two on the Friday. And as you said, it was excellent that first period. And I really felt like Devils were going to come out and think 20 fast minutes, 20 hard minutes, blow Coventry away, get a couple of early goals, put the tie to bed, and everyone can have a relaxing 40 minutes then. And Coventry were always going to come out hard. They were always going to come out fast. They had that deficit to make up. They had a massive travelling crowd as well, who were in good voice. And yeah, Coventry, I'm sure, would have taken tie in that first period. And they definitely would have taken what happened in the second, with Brett Robinson on the power play 4 minutes in and Ross Venus with just two left in that period, scoring the only goals of the period to tie the tie up, if you like. And I've got to say, at that stage, I was feeling quite negative. I thought there was a big turnaround needed from the Devils. And, you know, you said you thought we edged that first period, Aaron. No such luck in the second, a decisive period for Coventry.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a typical Cardiff Devils second period where we slipped off the pace a little bit and Coventry countered us. And, you know, I think if they won their tie, it would have been game over there and then, because they were on such a high after that second period.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a case of next goal wins it. It felt like. And Devils needed to come out hard and fast in the third and did it magnificently. So quite reminiscent to the Sheffield 7-1 game, sort of start of the third period, just putting the tie to bed. Josh Batch getting his 100th Elite League point in a tie-winning fashion, sort of burying a rebound from the edge of the crease. And then less than a minute later, Matt Pope doubles the Devils' lead. And you know, from there on in, it was pretty comfortable. Devils knew they had that extra goal cushion. Aaron, it was. Did you feel it was a formality from there on in once we got Pope's goal?
Yeah, you know, two very very quick goals we scored in within the first 5 minutes. You know, it killed the game off. I think for Coventry, the tie was pretty much done with, and you know, I think we knew we had to come out with a solid first, get two goals in the first 10 minutes, and we could be comfortable, sit back on Bounds, and you know, that's what we did. And luckily we got another empty net at the end of the period, and that is all she wrote.
All she wrote indeed. And Devils move on to the playoff final weekend. Sean, Coventry really, I think the third year in a row, no, we didn't have them last year, but Coventry just are the type of team that caused trouble in the playoffs. You always want to avoid them. Obviously, they knocked Sheffield out a couple of years back, the only time champions haven't made it. But what do you think it is that the games between us have been so close this year? Is it their style just works against us? Or obviously, having not seen these ones, but sort of interesting how you think if they played that way they've done against us, against everyone, you wouldn't expect them to be sitting in eighth.
I think it all comes down to they just The reason they didn't do very well this year is because they had zero consistency all throughout their lineup. The reason I think they've done so well against us is because on the games they've played us, their goalie has been the best player on the ice. Kevin Nastiak, as you said, made some blinding saves this weekend from what I've seen on the highlights as well. Overall, I think he's a real, real good goalie. I think if he'd had a better core in front of him defensively and going forward, that Convery might have had a bit more success this year. But I think that they made it where they did purely thanks to, Marco Valorand and the goal score, the big goals he scored this year. And Kevin Nastiak himself has stood on his head games and won Convery points that they probably outright didn't deserve to win. Including some against us as well. You know, you look at that Christmas game and, I don't think we've been our best against Coventry this year. We've played our best hockey against the best teams. Maybe we've, shown them a bit too much respect and not risen to the challenge that they have been this year. Maybe we've underestimated them a little bit. And yeah, they work hard against us. It's a big rivalry. It's still, in my mind, it's the longest rivalry I've ever known, ourselves and Coventry. And, it still doesn't stop getting, still doesn't get old when we beat them. Especially this year when it's been hard. It's been hard beating Coventry this year. I think that's the difference.
I said to you after the game that it's nice when you've got to work to beat them because it reminds you how much you don't like them because they were the biggest rivals at the start of the Elite League. And it was almost a formality for a couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. And, through the BNL years, the one BNL year that we joined them, it was real, tough and nail with the two of us for the league title and the playoff title. And it's grown since then. I think the last couple of years with us, rising up the ranks and Coventry falling away, it's maybe lost a bit of that edge. But the games this year have been back to that rivalry and I hope it continues. I really do.
I think there is an element there that people say, you see it said a lot about Sheffield and Nottingham at the moment, that the way the conference system works is that teams play each other too much and almost familiarity breeding contempt and you just almost get bored of it. And obviously we've massively reduced the number of games we've played against Coventry this year. They were only the fifth and sixth games, whereas last year we'd probably played them six times before the Christmas series. So maybe that is an element of it, and having a more equal schedule would perhaps enhance rivalries around the league. But that is definitely a different conversation. So Devils move to playoff weekend, and we'll come on to the other teams there when we discuss the quarterfinal lineup. Just to discuss first the award ceremony that was held in City Hall last night on Monday, and just going to have a quick discussion around the winners. Not really a huge deal to argue with, I don't think. I know they go out to a vote, but I feel like forward of the year and defenseman of the year could just be given to Joey Martin and Andrew Hotham on a yearly basis. It's almost a given, Sean.
Yeah, didn't Mark Richardson share with Andrew Hotham last year?
He did. I apologise, yes. Yeah,
something on the night made me think that, I think Todd Kalman said that he'd won it 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row or something like that. And I something in my mind said that Richardson tied with him for it last year. And I'm fairly certain that they did. And, but yeah, it's a formality. The two best players in my mind in the league at what they do, in defense, obviously Andrew Hotham, his defensive game this year, I think has been as good as his offensive game. I think he's been solid and he's played his best hockey this year without a shadow of a doubt. He's got better and better every year. Same as Joey Martin. I think sometimes that, we talk about how good this side is and you forget some people still that you've got two of the greatest players that have played for the Cardiff Devils right there in front of you. And every year we see the montages at awards night and you realize, you just realize why.
Another thing to note as well, both Martin and Hotham had their biggest year production wise and by comfortable margins as well. Like Hotham's was by almost 10 points and Martin's was over 10 points. So, although the league's got better, both players have stepped up to the challenge, and then some every year, like since they've been here. It's unreal to see the progression they've made as well as the league.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it almost doesn't feel like it because we're so used to seeing them that, you know, when I think back to Joey Martin's first year, I'm like, well, he was amazing then. But I think the players around him in the team and in the league have come up to his level, and he's edged up that bit more to stay at the top. But yeah, I think Todd Cameron said it last night, Neil Francis keeps saying it, but in Joey Martin, we're watching the best Devils player of all time. And I think it's becoming more and more difficult to make a case against that now. And long may it continue, that case being built. In that case, fans' favourite went to Justin Farina. He is the typical Cardiff Devils player that everyone wants. And you know, we've not actually seen as much as people would have you believe. But we definitely get it in Farina. He fights. Watching the videos back of his fight with Gagnon on the montages yesterday, forgotten just how much of a war it is. One of the best fights. But probably one of the best fights I've seen in Cardiff in absolutely ages. I can't think the last time I watched just two monsters standing there throwing punches for as long as they did. And then another award that I feel like we could just give out to the same person every year, but I don't think any of us agree, but I know Aaron quite strongly disagrees that the Unsung Hero Award has gone to Mark Richardson yet again. Aaron, how long can you be unsung for?
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. You know, I think Mark Richardson last year had probably one of his most stellar seasons as a Devil. This year he's been absolutely unreal. He did have a bit of a knock. It was his testimonial year. I do think there was some players that did go more, that have gone a lot more unnoticed than Mark Richardson. Not to say that he's not that type of guy. He is. He never says thank you or anything like that. It's Mark Richardson. He always gives it all. But I think especially Matthew Myers, this season has been nothing but exceptional. His ice time maybe was a little bit more limited than past seasons, but you know, if you think nearly every penalty kill, he's out there for the majority of the time, and he chases that puck like a dog chasing a tennis ball. He scored some key goals. He gets under players' skins. He does everything right. And you know, how many people do you hear talk about Matthew Myers, and how many people do you hear talk about Mark Richardson? I hear more people talk about Mark Richardson, you know. And although there is more you could name as well, but for me, I voted for Matthew Myers because I think there's nothing that our guy didn't do this year that went noticed. Like, he was everything. Everyone worries about scoring goals and the power plays and stuff like that, but the amount of goals that Matthew Myers helped not concede on the penalty kill was unreal. You know, you could say games were won and lost there. And, you know, if he retires at the end of the year, or if he's here for another 5 years, he's one of the first players on my team. Shoot every game, fourth line, anything. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. So I totally agree with that, actually.
But nothing against Mark Richardson, just to say I love him just as much, but I think Myers deserved it a little bit more.
To give someone an unsung hero award in a year that he's had a whole night dedicated to him is a bit humorous, I think. And the other one that's, I think, Sean was the final fans, well, voted for by the players and the fans, the MVP award. Pretty sure that was also the fourth year in a row for Joey Martin.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, yeah.
I will say another controversy comment. I do think, although Joey Martin's been that player, I think we can call Tyson Strachan the saviour of this season. So he's up there for MVP as well, for me. Just a quick one.
I think it's a very good point that obviously our fortunes definitely turned around coinciding with Tyson Strachan coming in. And I think, Sean, you made the point when we signed him that you felt like he could have a weller Craig Weller type impact on the season. And obviously when Craig Weller came in, obviously more impact in terms of points and scoring, but he definitely turned that season around, going on a world record breaking run. And you know, Tyson Strachan had a very similar impact on, for us.
Yeah, I'll touch on Tyson Strachan in just a second, but it, with regards to Joey Martin as the MVP, voted by the players and the fans, the guy can do everything. As Aaron said earlier, we've seen him, and you both said we've seen him, we've seen his game grow and elevate as the league has improved. He's still the best player in the league, in my eyes. I don't think there is a team in this league that wouldn't take Joey Martin. There's not a player in this league that I would trade Joey Martin for. I think what he brings on and off the ice is makes him, like you said, Paul, the greatest of all time. And like you said, the argument is becoming very, very hard to make. So yeah, I think it was fully deserved for Joey Martin to get the MVP. But with regards to Tyson Strachan, I was gutted that he didn't get anything on the night. As Aaron said, a massive turning point to our season. I think when I was incorrect in the fact that I said he would have a Craig Weller-like effect. I thought his offense might be a bit more prolific, purely on the basis of the fact that he played at that level for so long at the NHL and AHL, and that he could transform that into some points here in the way that the players did when they came out from the lockout, like Paul Bissonnette and the like. However, the impact was much more than the Craig Weller effect. Just brought so much balance to our team. Our power play looked settled when he played on it. He brought so much to Bryce Reddick. Bryce Reddick's confidence went skyrocketed. He was playing like he was 7 foot tall, not the smallest guy on the team. Overall, I think as an impact player, that is the perfect signing we could have made late on in the year, or you know, not at the start of the season. And I think we needed that. I think we needed that injection of calmness. There's not a calmer guy on the ice. Cool, composed, very good skater. Acts like he has so much time on the puck. Just all in all, a fantastic year from Tyson Strachan. And although he didn't win an award that night, I think that we should pay tribute to him ourselves and amongst our fan base, because he really has had a fantastic influence on our team.
100%. The other two sort of main awards that were awarded, the Players Player of the Year went to Sean Bentifoglio. That I think the three of us have discussed at length. What a great year Benty's had. I think last year he finished the season strongly, and he started even above that, and has just grown and grown as the season's gone on. And I think the interesting one then was that the Coaches Player of the Year went to Bryce Reddick. John, you just mentioned how much he's improved since Tyson Strachan came in. But I think, you know, a real point with the criticisms that were coming his way. And I think all of us at one stage or another sort of had our doubts about Reddick's future with the team. And it definitely proved everyone who doubted him wrong. And, you know, Andrew Lord making that point. And you've got to think, Aaron, that's, you know, a sign from Lord that is someone that he's likely to want to keep in his team for next season as well.
I really hope so, because although he did receive some flack at the beginning of the year, I do think Reddick, you know, every guy usually has an off night, and Reddick's no exception to that. You know, you can't play 50 odd games a year and be at your best every single game, no matter how you try. But I do think Reddick is one of the few players who will literally give his heart, blood, soul, sweat, everything, every second he was on that ice. Yeah, he might not get the points, but like you said, he's like 5'8", 5'9", played like a seven foot guy. Fought, didn't care where it was, he'd fight them. He's a key part of this team purely for his effort alone. And I think, Lord must see something in him, and I really, really do hope this isn't the last we've seen of him, especially if, I'm not sure if he is, but especially if he is carrying a knock, because I wouldn't like to see him in this season that way.
I think it's worth pointing out as well that Reddick was one of those players that struggled to adapt to this league. I personally will hold my hands up and say that I wasn't impressed. Originally, I was one of those people who was maybe not that keen on keeping him around. And yeah, I point blank, I was wrong. A lot of people were wrong. But he grew into the league. I think he was that offensive defenseman in his last team and tried to do it in this league, and it just wasn't his game. It didn't suit him. And much like Mark Richardson brought the balance to Andrew Hotham, and Andrew Hotham always pays testament to Mark Richardson that he allows him to play his game because of how good he is at covering up for him. I think Strachan did that for Reddick as well and allowed Reddick to play his game. I just think that the balance was all wrong in the back end, and Reddick always had it in him to be a Cardiff Devil, and he's without a doubt proved it. And can't say enough good things about his commitment to the team. Andrew Law was saying he's not come across a player who loves the game as much as Bryce Reddick, and I think that that's contagious as well. If you're a player like that, I think that spreads throughout your locker room, and I think that can only be a good thing. And just a fantastic season overall from Bryce Reddick.
Yeah, couldn't add anything at all to that. So the overall award tonight was, you know, as ever, a really slick, well presented evening. So quite telling that there was, you know, quite a lot of motion on the stage, players being interviewed, and when Todd was giving speech, that were getting quite emotional. I think it just sort of shows what the season has meant to them as a group. Todd making a comment that he's never known a team be as close as this one, and that, you know, there's always one or two guys that don't necessarily fit in with everyone else. And you know, he said that hasn't been the case at all this year. And you could definitely see how much, you know, this season has mattered to them as a group. Every time someone was up on the stage talking about it. So another excellent season, and you know, hopefully that tightness and that desire to do it for each other will bode well for the coming weekend.
Just want to touch as well, Paul, on the special recognition award for Craig Moore. Who for, you know, was looking really promising before his injury, scored that game against Vekwa, as we saw multiple times on awards night. I think I lost count. But Todd said the day after his injury, or the day after, you know, he was, you know, it was said that he probably wasn't going to end up practicing, and it was worse than feared. He was the first one to walk in the office and ask what he could do, whether he could work in the office, you know, answer the phone, go out to schools and all that sort of thing. And I think he's done almost every school visit since then. I think that Craig Moore was at a really, really promising future with us. I still think he does. If he chooses to stay, if we want to keep him. And I think it was really good that Craig Moore was recognised for that, because he was the first player to you know, bring the trophy and get people to drink out of it in the bar, and he felt like a real Cardiff Devil. He felt like he belonged, and I thought it was really, really important that we acknowledge how important Craig Moore has been to our season and to our dressing room and our organisation as a whole.
Yeah, definitely, and it was good to see him get that and get the praise that came with it. I definitely hope to see him back next year based on what we saw leading up to his injury. Definitely a lot of promise there. So it's time to talk about the playoff final weekend. Unless Sean's going to interrupt again.
Sorry.
Excellent. we'll go out of chronological order because we'll save the best to last. So the second semi-final on Saturday sees the Sheffield Steelers face the Nottingham Panthers. Steelers coming through against Guildford in a game that looks like they pretty much had it under control, but a couple of times fell behind. Whereas Nottingham, on the other hand, led for just 30 seconds of their entire tie against Belfast, taking a one-goal deficit back into Nottingham Arena. And they needed to score three goals in a row to tie it up. They got a fourth to give them the lead, and Belfast tied it back up just 30 seconds later before Nottingham took it in overtime. So, yeah, it's everyone says, you know, the biggest rivalry in Europe thing and, you know, all the hyperbole around it. But, you know, Aaron, for you, that they are two teams with a big history, and, you know, are you expecting a big match or a damp squib, a bit like the Steelers Belfast one last year that everyone expected to be a barnstormer?
The thing is, their next door neighbours, basically, and they've got history, they've got a rivalry, you know. I can't see it being nothing less than a great game to watch as a neutral. They've both got really good skill players, they've both got a lot of talent, both got decent netminders. You know, it's going to be a great clash, but what you've got to take into consideration is the fact that this Corey Nielsen's last year as a coach, David Clark's last season as a player, you know, Nottingham fans and players are going to be there to support two of their most, two of their staple players in that club. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a difficult one for Sheffield to overcome. You know, you're playing in Nottingham's arena. It's just going to be such a tough game, but I think that this Nottingham's year, again, unfortunately, I don't think Sheffield's knowing anywhere near good enough to even be, be in that final. There's teams this year that's played a lot better hockey than them. And to make the final weekend for Sheffield is, you know, it gives them something to hold on to as well. So it's a tough game for both teams, but I think for a last hurrah for some of the Nottingham fans and players, it's gonna be a Nottingham win, I think, and I think they could do it all, to be honest. As much as a Dallas fan hates to say something like that, I think it could be another emotional one Sunday night for the Devils as well, if we get past the Flyers.
Sean, you're disappointing campaigns all round for Sheffield and Nottingham, neither of them making the Challenge Cup final. You're both being out of contention for the league, you know, not long after Christmas, if we're honest. Two teams that are surely going to be going all out, do you think, to salvage an overall disappointing season?
Yeah, I think so. Nottingham were at the stage where everyone was saying they were going to win the league in November. Everyone was saying no one's going to catch them, and they absolutely self-destructed at Christmas. And this is going to be the last time that Nottingham sees Corey Nielsen and David Clark. It's going to be a really, really emotional weekend for the Panthers fans, the Panthers team. They're in their home building. You know, we talk about the Challenge Cup final the last 2 years, and we favoured ourselves in it every year. You know, you always favour the home team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They know the bounces, they know the boards, they know everything about that rink better than anybody else. They play there, you know, every week. And they are the team I am most concerned about at the playoff weekend. You know, we'll obviously come on to our semi-final in just a second, but I think Nottingham are a good enough side to win the thing. I think they proved that this year with the CHL. They have that talent. They've obviously lost a couple of bodies and made some additions through the course of the season, but I still think they're a quality outfit. We've really struggled to play in that building this year. Sheffield, again, I think overall that they do still have some talent. I don't think that they are going to be happy. They're not going to be happy with the season they've had at all. Like you said, out of contention, no Challenge Cup final. This is their chance that they won trophy this year, and I think they've won a piece of silverware for the past 4 years, correct me if I'm wrong. So it's got to be something like that. So they're going to be out fighting for their annual trophy that they used to get in the success. So I'm really, really looking forward to that semi-final. One of the best games I've ever seen was a Nottingham Sheffield game a good couple of years ago now. But Nottingham have really, really struggled to beat Sheffield this year. I think it took until the last game of the year for Nottingham to beat them. By that time, it was all but done with in the league. And it's I wouldn't like to see that one, to be quite honest with you. I wouldn't like to be putting a bet on either of those sides. I think it'll go right down to the wire, maybe even go to a shootout. But yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
Assuming that Devils come through the first semi-final, then a shootout is definitely what I want to see. As long on the ice for whoever does win it in the end would be great. And you never see it at the playoffs, but you know, a few fights, some massive hits, a couple of bans, you know, all that jazz as well. But you know, agree with you both. I think it is going to be a big game. And yet, I sort of feel like not. From what we've seen this year, Nottingham have been the better team. I think when we've gone there, as you said, Sean, we've really struggled. I think we've only had one win in the league in Nottingham, whereas, you know, Sheffield, I feel like even games we've lost, I think there's only been one or two where I felt like we were, you know, maybe even when we've won, where we were comfortably outplayed. You know, the rest, I thought we were always in with a shout. Even the last defeat in Sheffield, which was quite heavy, still, you know, we discussed that we felt we were the better team in that one. So, yeah, it could be in a strange position that I may be wanting an orange victory in that semi-final. But we first got to get through a team that are going to be... Oh, it is a pun, I didn't even mean to do it, but they're going to be absolutely flying. it came into my head and I couldn't let it go then. I should have just done it without calling it, but there we go. Fife welcome Manchester in the first leg. Yeah, amazingly, the second place Manchester ended up playing Fife, who dropped all the way down to seventh after Andy Isles, their starting netminder, was injured along with, I think, Evan Bledoff and a couple of other players. So, you know, a massive injury crisis, so I'm all the way down in seventh. But they were able to welcome back Isles and Bledoff, but seemed to do absolutely nothing as Manchester left the Fife Arena with a 4-1 lead. And it's taken until his last game of the season, but Ryan Finnerty managed to choke and that 4-1 lead quickly became an overtime loss. And Fife, against all the odds, you know, the way their league campaign finished, the way that first leg went, to be in the weekend, Aaron, that they are going to be so up for this game. You've got to think.
Absolutely no doubt. You know, they went down to probably one of the most difficult places to go in Manchester, smaller ice pad, and they just absolutely turned them over. They must be riding such a wave right now. It's unreal, and unlucky for us, we are the next team in the way to take that team on. And in all honesty, I think Fife, bar us, are probably the best team we've faced this year in the Final Four. And you know, I think we can get past them. I have no doubt in my mind we can get past them, but look how much we struggled against the 8th place team Coventry the last two games. You know, all you need to do is be up for it. All you've got to think is it's your last game of the year, you're playing the league champions. You know, they can turn it around as easy on us as we can turn it around easier to beat them. So it's going to be a difficult task. Luckily, we get a few extra hours rest after the, if we make it ready for the final the next day. So like you said, Paul, I hope we can get past Fife and Sheffield and Nottingham, take a couple of bumps and bruises, a couple of bans, and play as long as possible just in preparation for us.
Yeah, definitely. Sean, there's a second year in a row Devils face the 7th place team from Scotland. And yeah, we know Dundee caused us a lot of issues last year in that semi-final. And you've got to think Fife are a better team than the Stars outfit the Devils came up against on that day.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you look back to that game last year against Dundee and we possibly were, you know, I think all three of us said that we were confident of getting past Dundee. And then they gave us a bit of a scare and we really had to show up and turn our game on massively. We underestimated them without a shadow of a doubt. And this, you know, maybe that came from the fact that we did have a fairly, you know, lax quarter final against Manchester. I think we'll have learnt from that this year, you know, we just got past Coventry, who made it difficult for us. We know how hard it's going to be. You know, head-to-head, their top-line centre versus our top-line centre, we win. Our second-line centre against their second-line centre, we win. Goalies, fairly even. Defence, I think we win. You know, head-to-head, I think we outmatch them, point-blank. But this is the playoffs, and this is what it's all about. The game isn't played with paper or on paper. It's played on ice. And these guys in Fife had a hell of a season. They won their conference, and we took them for granted in our own building, and we paid the price for it. They beat us in regulation in probably what was our self-destruct moment of the year, where we had to, you know, take a good look at ourselves and realize that it wasn't going to be that easy. And it's going to be hard, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, if you offered me whether I wanted to play Fife, Sheffield, or Nottingham in the semis, I'd take Fife every day of the week. But through grit, it's never going to be easy. That's the beauty of the playoffs. You know, we were the team a couple of years ago that were in Fife shoes. You know, we'd be up against the Nottinghams, the Sheffield, the Belfast. Nobody expected us to win, and we did it a couple of times and went on to the final. They got a point to prove that they deserve their conference championship, that they're a good side. They're going to want to win their last game of the year, and they, you know, competitively, I'm not talking about that joking third, fourth place game. They're going to want to win that and be in the final. I think they're a good enough side to have a place at the dance. So I'm glad that they're there at the final four, and it's going to be a battle without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I was just checking you'd finish, because I'm going to go back through this and count the number of sporting cliches you managed to drop into that 1 minute monologue. I played on ice, head to heads, you know, oh, everything was in there. It's not on paper. Just, it's cliche bingo. Nice one.
Before you know, I'll say to a man.
We had nothing but good things about him. I don't think we're going to preview the final. I think you've given all the preview the third place game needs. It's a joke.
What? Really?
Really?
We're not going to preview the third, fourth place game. Really?
Well,
I can't believe it. It's the most important game of the year.
No, I can't wait for it.
It's so important. They did. You know, they're streaming the playoff weekend, and they're definitely streaming the third, fourth place game, aren't they? Surely.
I think BBC have picked that up instead of the final.
Ah, well, would make total sense. Makes total sense.
I'll give. Although I talk crap all year, I'll give one piece of good advice for everyone listening. Check a big bet on there to be 10 plus goals scored in that three. Third, fourth playoff game, you'll come home with some spending money. Just telling you now.
You never want your team to miss out on the final, obviously, but the third, fourth place game just gives you that extra thing that you haven't got to watch it if you win your semi-final. Because yeah. I think I've watched it once as a neutral and vowed never, ever to do that again. It was.
I used it as a platform for a nap before the final last year.
An excellent use of your time, better than anyone who actually went to watch the travesty that it is. That is it. I'm going to be brutally honest, whether or not we're back next week will almost certainly depend on who lifts the playoff trophy on Sunday. I think that we won't kid ourselves, there will be sulking of the highest order. If not, so if we don't do it, thank you for listening this season. But hopefully we'll be back next week to bring you the highs and lows, and the lots of highs, hopefully, of the playoff weekend. But from Sean, Aaron and myself, thanks for listening. And that is your Red Army Roundup.